Preach. Welcome to another episode of Cognac Corner with Marcus Boston. And today I have my good friend on, Brandon Riley. Riley, introduce yourself, please.
Good evening. My name is Brandon Riley. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
It's my pleasure, and I thank you for making the time to come and spend time in Cognac Corner. Me and Brandon has been friends for, 10 plus years now?
Way more than 10.
15?
Like, yeah, we getting up there, man.
Goodness gracious.
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
4 or 5, something like that.
I was about 21, 20. That sounds about right. That's about how I sat my dreads. I was draping back then. I was heavily into my urban streetwear back then. Some of the best years of my life. Mm-hmm. Me and Brandon met at a previous employment, the St. Louis Zoo. And I was the last to leave, unfortunately.
World's famous.
Shit. I worked in security. He worked in the parking lots. We became friends from there. Excuse me. Then we eventually became roommates. That's we've been friends that long, and we've shared a lot of experiences, especially when it comes to dating women, meeting women. I had a heavy cocaine habit back then, not in the truest sense, in the women's sense. And he was there and enjoyed a lot of the fruits of my bad labor. But that's enough about me and my storytelling, my perspective. So from your perspective, how would you gauge or tell our friendship thus far?
Like I say, our friendship has been a long friendship. I think we've been friends through each other's seasons. We've had a lot of seasons that we've been friends through.
Lord have mercy.
That's
yes.
Funny that you had dreads and I had a low cut when we like first became friends. That seems so far ago. I think in our dynamic has been, I've had to be the wise old the old man. Like, hey man, you better be careful around there, man. You like, oh, you don't know. And then fast forward, like,
elder statesman. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, he was definitely the voice of reason for a lot of my reckless and risky habits, especially in my early to middle 20s. He always gave me that, like, hey, now you doing the most. I was like, you know what, you're right. He kept me from a lot of things. He might be half the reason I don't have a child now, because I think he definitely grabbed me by the shoulders and said, hey, I hear you. You're doing the most, but I want to calm that down. And be focused, and so I definitely appreciate his presence in my life for as long as it has been.
One thing I've noticed about myself, I'm excellent at helping others. I'm okay at best at helping myself, but I'm excellent at helping others, and whether it's relationships, work-related, just life in general, I'm excellent at helping others. Okay at helping myself, but, you know, I've identified it.
Awareness is half the key, and I agree with that. We have that in common. Being that we're both of the over 30 No Children's Club, which is a very exclusive club with dwindling members every year.
So you know what's funny about that club?
All right, so hit me one of those Brandon gems.
Oh, gems. So like I'm transitioning from young guy, at least relatively young guy. I'm still relatively young, but I'm transitioning from, wow, you're over 30 and you don't have kids, to wow, you're over 30 and you don't have kids. It's transitioning from like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's almost like an accomplishment, to now it's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why don't you have kids?
Why is that so insulting? I get that same vibe when I explain why I don't have children. I'm like, because I understand it's a choice.
I think people look at it, you know, and I'm speaking in generalization. So like, I'm not saying every person. Nothing. Every 7.5 billion. Right. I'm not saying every person. I'm saying in general, if you're a man of a certain age and you don't have kids, it becomes like a flaw. Like, why haven't you planted your seed? Especially if you're a man of quality, or people view you of quality. Why don't you have kids? What's the problem? Why aren't you, you know, part with that? And for me, I'm like still selfish in some regards. Like, I still have things that I want to do, time that I may not be willing to sacrifice. And I'd be lying if I said 100% it was because I made amazing decisions up to this point. And that ain't it. Like, it's about 75% I didn't want kids, and 25% I've had some lucky moments, if you will.
25% God is good, won't he do it?
Yeah. I'm not even going to sit here and lie. I'm like, listen, every time, listen, here's the thing. Nah, that ain't it. I've had some luck on my time. I've rolled the dice a few times.
Also, you are an esteemed thespian. I've enjoyed plenty of your plays. You're also the teacher of theater. Now, does that combination of being over 30,
yep,
black teacher, and a theater teacher, that also give the less elevated of exquisite and rare men give them pause? They think of a negative way. They're like, what's wrong? Like, super wrong with you.
Well, I won't say for everybody that I've dated, right, or, and I say date in air quotes, but I think for some people that I've messed with, I've definitely checked their boxes, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strong, independent, talented, doing stuff, educated, has a deep interest in the arts, no kids, check, 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 check. But they didn't really like me, the person. I just checked the boxes, but like, and then you get to know me and you're like, this is a lot to deal with. I just kind of wanted, you know, those check marks. And I get it, because I've had people I've dated that have checked all the boxes, but, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't click, or we didn't have that spark, or, you know, it's lopsided, whatever. I have noticed as I get older, I have not a lot, but I have several people that are like trying to hook me up because they feel like I need to be with somebody. Like, why aren't you in a relationship? What's going on? I got a friend, or I know that she'd be great for you. I'm like, well, like, I'm flattered and I appreciate you thinking of me positively like that, but I'm good.
They are offended by your freedom. Like, no, if I gotta be locked down with somebody, he needs to be locked down too. Look at him being all happy, doing what he wanna do. I got a nice friend for him to keep him occupied.
And for me, it's not even like a freedom. I've been doing, like, since I crossed this 30 club, and, you know, even to like a mid, like late 30s, I don't know the official term for it, but I'm doing a lot of self-reflecting and like identifying my baggage that I'm bringing and identifying kind of where I am in life and finding a comfort and a confidence in that, you know, like a real, like a genuine confidence and comfort in my own skin, to where if I'm talking to somebody and I'm not feeling it, like, I don't necessarily hesitate to be like, this ain't it. And so there, I guess there does come a freedom with like a genuine comfort in your own skin, like, whereas professionally and personally, all these things are coming together at a time where, like, I'm really comfortable and confident in what I am. And that's a lot. And so when you reach that, you start to see it in others or not see it in others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of have a moment where you're like, is this something I'm willing to deal with, or is this something I'm not willing to deal with? And, you know, so far.
I would agree. I think in my travels, in my experience, is that oftentimes I'm at a point where I want you to want me, not need me. To where,
because I don't feel
I can ever, if you're broken, it's not my job to put you together.
Yeah,
like, you can do it on your own. Like, I can't look for a woman to complete me. Now, you can make me better, but you shouldn't be saving me. You shouldn't be the, you know. I never want my woman to lose herself in me. I want to always be the woman that I was attracted to, and like, it always gives me pause when either a man wants his woman to do everything he does and become this something she's not, or not be herself, or she wants, or she feels the need to stop doing her, me hanging with her friends, or doing things she enjoyed to be with him. Like, a man that really cares about you and has strength in himself, in spirit, mind, body, and soul, and security, will want you to be the best you, and y'all just find where y'all click it at. I might not like Scandal. You do. That's cool. You enjoy Scandal to the best of your ability. I'm going to watch Voltron. You don't have to watch it with me. I'm not offended by that.
I think what you're speaking to in its simplest form is happiness, right? And this is a lot of trial and error to find these answers or whatever. But what you're speaking to is like a true, genuine happiness. And that comes from within, not from outside. And, you know, many people look for that happiness like as a missing puzzle piece that's going to come from outside. And so those people that may have that type of, or may be seeking that happiness from within internally, aren't necessarily going to be attracted to somebody that's seeking that happiness from external factors. I have a lot of like friends that, male and female, that are looking for a missing puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. And then once I snap this piece in, then I'll be happy and we'll get married, we'll have mm-hmm. kids. And like, that's not, for in my experiences, that's not it. Like, if you're happiness and you have that kind of, there's a glow of people that are comfortable in their own selves and are pursuing happiness. There's a glow that other people either want to attach to or elevate themselves with that. And if you don't have that, that's like almost like a job. That's mm-hmm. another job trying to be that for somebody. That's a right. lot of work to be somebody's happiness.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. If I don't know how to love me, how can I teach you how to love me? You know, like,
or even more, if you don't know what makes you happy and you just so happen to experience that with me, that's a lot, because I'm like, you know, people are people.
Yeah.
Oh, some days I'm amazing guy. Some days I'm crabby. Some days I'm sick.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff. And if your happiness is wrapped up in that,
that's gonna be a rude awakening.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's gonna be crashing down. Like, what's wrong here? Like, well, I'm a human, and today ain't the day I want to be dealing with you. So no, whatever bothers me is like, I like my space and my time. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to miss you. If you're always around, I can't miss you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's time. That's why I was like back again to like her being her independent self and having her own thing. Cause that, oh, my baby doing this by herself. She cool. I'm gonna go drop in, see what she's doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I miss her. If you under me or with me all the time, I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, so I use analogies when I'm teaching a lot. Cause for some people, these things click it for them in their brain. Right. So I pose this analogy to you. What's your favorite food?
Sushi.
Sushi. Sushi's delicious. I love sushi. All right. I'm going to offer you a deal that you can eat sushi for every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the rest of your life. Or you can pay for your food, but you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want. Which deal are you taking?
I will take door number two, please.
And that we've reached a point where to say that I don't want to eat sushi for every meal, every day, for the rest of my life is like then you must not love sushi like you said you love sushi.
Oh, preach it.
Like, no, I love sushi. And if I, for real, like, I love sushi. And I'll like 3 to 4 or 5 days out of the week, I'll take that. But if I'm getting it every day, all day, I'm going to get tired of it.
Don't be sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And you know, that's hard for people to wrap their head around. It's hard for me. When I, you know, the only problem with logic is emotions. And it's hard for me when I find somebody and I'm like, I'm so into them. I'm like, what? Were you? Well, I thought you were, but I thought you were coming. It's hard to wrap your head around that. But that time alone is just as precious as your time together. Mm-hmm. And it has to be treated as such, or it's not sustainable.
It's not going to make it long term. I think for me, I get that sense of independence and just self-care, understanding.
Self-care, oh my gosh.
I need to be my best self. I get it from my mom. You know, my mom, as I grew up, single mom, single mother of two. My sister's 7 years younger than me. But at no point did she ever give me the impression that she needed a man to complete her. Mm-hmm. She was fine what she had, what she did. She stuck to her lane. And when the right man came in her life, which her husband now, she's been married for 11 years, maybe together for... Yeah, because remember, when they got together...
When they started dating.
We was roommates. We was roommates.
So we've been together longer than... is this my longest relationship? Damn.
You might... You know what? That might be on both ends. Like, consistently, like, still, like, we've been through... Yeah, it might be it. Because I remember when we was roommates, I went home, went to her house for something. He was on the couch, mm-hmm. and he was taking on, I think, on their first date. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, this... Now, mind you, my mom is 53, and her husband is 36. So, only a couple years older than me. I graduated in 03.
I remember that, because I'm like... I'm either he's like slightly older than me, or I'm slightly older than him.
He just had a birthday, shit, right before yours. So yeah, in the same year, about so. And I remember him being on the couch, like who's this bagger on this on this couch? But I never had a reason to question my mom's judgment, even though she probably had maybe one or two boyfriends that came. She made sure everyone we met was someone of substance. Mm-hmm. And when Mike came into life, you know, he was cool. He played his position. He slowly worked his way and did his job. And I remember when he asked me, we were still roommates, could he marry my mom? I was like, cool. I was like, all right, well, I trust my mom's judgment.
And
here we are.
I think your mom definitely, from what I've observed, has that sense of self, that sense of self-happiness, and while also pursuing her, you know, goals and all these things. For me, like, if someone is happy, like, they're truly happy and they're doing it in a healthy way, I don't find any reason to judge that. I don't find any reason to judge that. Whatever label that takes on for you, I don't find any reason to judge that. If you're happy in your relationship and it's not marriage, it's friends with benefits, but you both are happy with what you have, mm-hmm. then be that. If you're happy in your marriage, then be that. My thing is... Don't try to force that happiness for a different label, a different title, or what you feel you're supposed to do, or you're not complete as a person, all those things. Find like a true internal happiness and comfort with yourself, and while still working to improve yourself, but don't try to force it, because more often than not, it's been my observation that when you try to force it, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work, and then you end up... The easy way out is to point fingers at this guy ain't this, or this girl ain't that, and my job and all that. Well, what are you doing?
You can't put a round peg in a square hole. It does not work. My advice is always, like, you know, you have to be growing the same direction. Like, you know, once again, back to my mom, like, I don't believe in that relationships you have to fight and argue. Now, of course, we're going to disagree because we're two different people. We have different perspectives, blah, 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 but... Not a day I've been on this earth I've ever seen my mom fight, like argue and just have all drama with a man. So in my mind, I'm not finna be with anybody that bothers my peace or we have an argument where it gets outrageous and we cussing and saying names. We ain't gonna do that. You can go your way and I go mine, but you're not gonna bring some mess into my life, regardless how fine you might be. Now, we all know there's levels to that saying. You're gonna take a lot more from an 8-9, you're going to take it from a 6-7. Now, as we have aged and we have grown, there is a value in, you know, a late round draft pick over a first rounder. Now, with that being said, regardless of wherever you draft that player at, you still have to have your feet planted to not know what you're going to deal with, what you will or will not deal with.
So you have to be honest with yourself, man. You have to be honest with yourself. I think a lot of people spend time, so much time, lying to themselves and trying to follow this imaginary blueprint mm-hmm. on what they think, that they don't even know how not to lie to themselves, mm-hmm. right? Like, I feel like I'm a solid 8. Mm-hmm. I'm a solid 8. And now when I say 8, I mean like in terms of looks, personality, what I bring to the table, all this stuff. You do all the numbers and all that stuff. I'm like a solid 8. Mm-hmm. But the honest part is, like, I 100% know about myself what I'm willing to put up with and what I'm not, and what I'm willing to do and what I'm not. And for the right person, I'm willing to do a little bit more. For someone I'm not maybe as interested in, that changes. Mm-hmm. But I'm honest with myself about that, and to the best of my ability, I try to be honest with whoever I'm dealing with. Now, whether or not they believe me when I'm being honest with them is a different thing. It's a different thing. I've had people I've dated that I've told flat out what it is, and then they try to change that. And I've had people I've dated where I haven't been as honest, and it ends up not working out. And when I've been honest, I feel way better about the situation. Younger me, like, I wasn't, like I say, I've been working on self for a long time. Younger me was not where I am now mentally. Younger me was trying to follow this imaginary blueprint, or trying to be everything for everybody that mm-hmm. I dated. Mm-hmm. And like, that just ain't it. And a lot of that was because of the physical. A lot of that's because of the figure. Yeah. It, like, as we're filming this podcast now, if the right young lady walks in here, there's a good chance I may leave this seat and go see what it is. But older me, like, knows, like I was like, hey, D, Marcus, you know, sorry, man, I got to. Young me was like, no, man, we had a connection. I'm like, no, she had a nice little curves and smile. You know, just be honest with yourself. It's way less stressful, you know, on the long end. Now, up front, it's going to be tough at some moments up front. But long term, it's way better for your own state of being honest up front.
So when you date, when you look for women, where do you normally run into women that fit your idea? Not only use the word idea, but attracts your eye. What kind of young lady attracts your eye based on the places you travel and frequent?
I would say, so I don't date much these days, because I put in 50, 60 hours towards my work and my craft. So it doesn't leave much time for dating. So when I do date, air quotes date, or bump into somebody, it's usually not planned, and it just kind of comes out of nowhere. So what attracts my eye, like, it's different for me. For every person I've dated is different for me. Like, I'll catch somebody and the sun hits them the right way, and mm-hmm. I'm like, whatever their personal look is, kind of, I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. like, that kind of works for me right now. And so it's different. Like, even now, as I'm trying to picture, like, nobody that I've really dated kind of fits in a similar type. I hate to be cliche, but I am a butt man. So that's a thing. I
like them cakes.
I caught myself this past summer. Like, I saw somebody, she was walking away from me, so back turned to me. I'm like, man, she kind of cute. I didn't see this lady. I ain't seen her face, a smile. I'm like, she kind of cute. I'm like, golly, I wish that didn't have that type of power over me, but it does. You know, in addition to that, I do love a nice smile, because I'm kind of a goofball, so a nice smile works. On the level of a nice butt, a pretty pair of eyes, like them staring into your soul eyes. Oh my gosh,
that's, stop looking at me.
Yeah, that's tough. I have to look away sometimes. But I think it's unique to each person. Like, whatever, I kind of like young ladies that have like a quiet confidence about themselves, that, you know, they've kind of identified them, what their look is or what works for them, and they kind of, you know, they have this quiet confidence about themselves. I that's really attractive to me, for sure. I don't really like the extravagant, kind of over the top, too loud. I don't really like that. Yeah. I'm pretty low key.
Yeah, all the attention and spotlight.
Yeah.
What has been your long relationship?
Outside of me and you,
bad boys for life.
Outside of that,
Mike Lowry and Marcus over here.
You know, it's my longest relationship was 2 years, and that was in high school.
Oh, good God, that shit don't even count.
Ah, shit, it's my longest one. Outside of that one, I think a year has been my longest relationship. A year has been my longest relationship, and you know, I've messed up many relationships. So anybody listening to this, please don't take this as me saying that I have everything figured out. And I apologize for my flaws, my faults. I know I've messed up many relationships, whether that was the timing, whether that was me stuff, my own baggage that I just hadn't come to terms with. Some of the relationships, it was you. But many other times, I've messed up a lot of relationships with some wonderful young ladies. But I think now, on the hindsight of it, it probably was better that those relationships didn't work out, because I wouldn't have been what I needed to be for those relationships to be successful anyway. Mm-hmm. So I apologize. Hopefully that gives you some explanation, but I'm not saying that I've been a perfect guy. I'm well aware that I have not been perfect in all my situations.
So now that you've risen to this higher level of consciousness, definitely about yourself, which is the important thing.
And yeah, man.
It makes you a better partner, spouse going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, when the right person find your relationship arrives,
mm-hmm.
and what would be the, everyone comes, I mean, we're over the age where everyone comes to either kids, some level of unfinished baggage from whatever. How much baggage can you carry at this point, knowing what you know about yourself? And baggage, I'm saying, like, you know, I say the kids, not the kids are great, you know, we love kids, but I mean, being that we do like our time, I know I have a hard time playing second or third to, you know, children come first and trying to figure out, mm-hmm. you know, where you fit into her schedule. Plus, you know, if she's a mother will always put her kids first in the right way. So you have to mm-hmm. figure out where you fit in. So they might be hanging out during the week. Mm-hmm. It might be very patient. And is your patience long enough to allow that to develop, to see what it's really about? Because I know I lose patience after a while. If I'm available, I want you to be available too. But I can't. You have a child to get to school in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So do you feel you're at the level now to let that work itself out?
So I think, and I like, one thing about where I am now, mentally, emotionally, and physically, all that. One thing about where I am now is that I'm willing to be wrong on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to be wrong on stuff. Like, I've taken all information and things that I've learned up to this point, and I use it to try to not make the same mistakes and try to keep evolving. So I'm willing to be wrong. That's one thing. But I believe, I really believe this, that when you're talking to somebody that the interest is mutual and it's a deep interest, that the things about each other that may be challenging won't be even be looked at as baggage. It'll be looked at as part of our relationship, how we move forward. Mm-hmm. So if she has kids and we can only see each other on Wednesdays and Fridays, then I need to figure out for my schedule how to be available Wednesdays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. It won't be looked at differently than that. If, you know, she has some crazy exes or I have some, hey, big heads popping up on my phone, those would be part of our relationship, things that we're dealing with. I don't want it to, and I know it is, but I don't want it to feel like I have to clock in for this other job that I have. I want it to feel like this is a part of what I'm doing that's contributing to my overall happiness and contributing to her happiness, mm-hmm. as we move forward. So I don't think it'll be looked at as baggage. It'll be looked at as just a part of our relationship. Yeah.
I like that. This is, and to piggyback off that, do you think your wife or girlfriend should be your best friend in the way that you tell her everything all the time? I disagree. You know, I want my wife, my girlfriend to be my wife, my girlfriend, but I expect her to tell her girlfriend things she's not going to tell me, just because I don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And vice versa. I always get baffled when, I guess maybe I ain't had enough heartbreak, whatever. Like, I don't ever see myself being to the point where I'm telling my wife, girlfriend, everything.
Yeah.
I'm sometimes say, hey, Brandon, let me tell you what happened. Yada, yada, yada. Blase, blase, blase. A Byron, a B. Wheels, whatever. I'm not finna run and tell her because it's not her role. That's my bae. We talk as much as we need to, but like, I know certain things I don't want to know about Cindy at work, or even we're gonna talk about women regardless. That's just boys, but we know where the line's at. I don't feel your best friend should see you have your best friend, your wife, girlfriend, husband. Mm-hmm. I think that's healthy. That's another one of the things, not losing yourself in a relationship, because that might end. Then you want to say, hey, friends, what's going on? No, you've been gone for yada, 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 because whatever, whatever. Now, do you think that, now, am I on the wrong? Am I in the wrong mind?
I don't necessarily, you're not wrong because that's what you feel. So mm-hmm. That's what you feel. I think that's another thing when people get caught up in these different labels and these different titles and this imaginary blueprint of what a healthy relationship is supposed to be. I'm grown. My friends are my friends. I don't even like you necessarily really use that term. I'm like, it's just a thing. Like, I consider my close people that are close to me, that's my family. Mm-hmm. I don't like rank. Let me go down. Like, I don't have somebody saved in my phone as best friend, number one, best friend. I don't even think in those terms, mm-hmm. but I do know like the people that I have that I can have like an unfiltered conversation with mm-hmm. and go into like ugly details about stuff.
Yeah.
And then I have friends that like, we get together and we talk about football. Like,
right. Right.
I think in relationships, I don't even know if it would be healthy to have those type of unfiltered, like across all levels conversation with your significant other. I don't want, like, unless you're like a diehard Cowboys fan,
uh-huh.
I don't really want to talk to you about what Jerry Jones is doing with my lady friend. Like, that's not a conversation we need to have. Like, and so trying to find, a young lady that I can talk to about theater, movies, sports, comic book stuff, nasty things that I look at on the internet, Netflix show, like that's
and
like,
and be fine.
That's like eight different people.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. To ask for.
And so to even put that pressure on one another to be your best friend, on if you're using it as like that, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. Mm-hmm. But a confidant and someone that you can feel secure with and having a conversation with, that's different. I just don't think I need to like. Yeah, this is my lady, this is my best friend, this is my son, this is my moon, all this stuff. And maybe I just haven't felt that yet.
Yeah.
But I think even if I were in a situation like that, I wouldn't even want to put that type of pressure on mm-hmm. another person to have to be my everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot to be somebody's. You know how much everything is?
That's unfair.
Everything is a lot.
Because no one's perfect. You ask a human being to be perfect for you, and that's wrong. That's unfair.
So if your significant other is your sunshine, right? She's your sunshine every day. And God forbid she has a bad day. So then that means that your sun didn't come up that day too. And now we in this kind of gray cycle of emotions and feelings. And well, this was my person that I tell everything with that gives me clarity and provides me with my smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having a rough day. So then what do I do? You got to have this balance, man, this balance. So when she's feeling down, you still have the things that you love and are into that provide you with some light that you can share with her
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. Like putting all that pressure on another person to be all that for you is almost selfish in some regards. To try and put all that on another person.
Yeah. I agree.
You just got, we gotta stop getting caught up in these labels and this blueprint. That blueprint was created in BC. Right. We way past that.
Way
man.
Past that. It was a lie was made then. It wasn't even perfect. It was created in BC.
People were dying at 28.
Right.
We live into 90 something now, man. It's okay to
multiple lives according to that matrix. That metric.
It's okay to do something different if it works for you. I think that's...
I do say tough. this is another question. Mm. Don't ask a question you don't want to answer to.
I practice that in my life. Let me live in my blissful ignorance. Ignorance is far bliss. As far as I know, she ain't dated nobody in 10 years, and I was just just let me live in my ignorance because I don't want to know. I don't want to know about the time you was dating a 6'8", 240 guy in college. I don't want to know. Just let me live. I'm happy. Let me live. Quote the great philosopher Plies, I'm happy. Leave me alone. I'm happy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't want to know. I never ask the questions about your ex and what did you got. I don't want
to
know.
We live in the now and going forward. They got nothing to do with me.
So I legit try not to lie when it comes to these intersex relationships. I try not to lie. When every now and then they ask me a question, I'm like, all right.
Are you ready? I'm good.
I'm going to answer this question. Now, just remember, you asked me this question. I'm going to answer. But I didn't, I was just going to keep moving. I was going to figure out what we were eating for dinner and where we're going out to hang out. But you wants to know this question. And I think that's another thing that comes from, security. That's a security thing. I don't need to know about your deep into your past. I may need to know some surface level information, but I don't need to know about deep into your past because that's not my concern. Mm-mm. My concern is your present and hopefully your future.
Right.
I don't I'm confident enough in myself that this is what you want so we can move forward. I don't want to know because then I'm a thespian. I teach theater, I do shows, I'm all these characters. So I have a very active imagination. So once you put something in there, now I'm
run with it.
I'm trying to sleep, but I'm thinking about the time you went to NBA All-Star Weekend and with your girl. I don't want to think about that. I just want to live.
Leave my mental peace alone. Don't you do it. I ain't gonna ask for it. Don't you do it.
Part of that is because I've been the I'm going out of town for a weekend and I've been the guy that they visit and I'm like, oh, I'm just, I know at some point I got some of that stuff coming back to me.
It all comes back and it's undefeated. It's coming back. You don't know when, how, what. It's gonna come back. Yeah. I took the trip. I ain't gonna see her again. So I'm gonna do something disgusting. Something I'll never do somebody I know next door.
Man, I don't want to know about that, man.
Yeah. If you could, what would this version of Brandon tell the 20-something KC version of Brandon?
Oh man, if I could have, just to really strive for internal peace of mind more than anything, strive for that. I was striving for everything but that, whether it was financial stuff, relationship stuff, right? I was very much early 20s, I was very much into quantity and impressing my friends with who I was talking to and all those things.
I know I was there.
And it wasn't even I didn't really, it was only, it's only now that I realized those things were being done on a subconscious level because of some baggage that's a whole nother podcast. Podcast. Like some baggage stuff that I had from childhood. Mm-hmm. And it's only to recent years that I've been able to, identify that. My mental health in the early 20s was terrible, but I just didn't you don't know. I would have sought out some counseling, some stuff like that. I would have actively talked out things. Mm-hmm. But just really reach, if I could have reached a level of comfort in myself in early 20s, I don't know what now would look like. Mm-hmm. If I could have reached that, because now it's such a special place to be in. It's weird. I keep waiting for the
shoe drop.
Somebody to come around the corner you thought yeah. I'm like, I keep waiting for that, but I'm like, it's
Ashton.
And so far it's going smoothly.
Yeah.
My relationships with people are stronger. Friend relationships or even when I date someone and it's, we could both kind of know it's not going to work out. Mm-hmm. That conversation is so different now than it was in early 20s. Early 20s, you ain't, all this back. Mm-hmm. Now it's a very, Like, okay, well, you know, it's still uncomfortable, but it's not this ball of negative energy. It's not that. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be, especially when it comes to relationships, like, own up to your own stuff, identify your own stuff before you start trying to bring people into that. Because, you know, like I say, I don't know what today would look like had I done this work 10, 15.
Right.
To God forbid if I'd have figured it out in high school. Oh, man. It'd be so much more chill.
A lot of bonds we wouldn't have, though. You probably wouldn't be here. You know?
No.
When the whole host of things, but she got me,
So in that regard, I'm legit thankful for my experiences. Mm-hmm. I look at it like I've been going to the gym mentally and physically for my whole life to be prepared for now, to be prepared for now and what comes next. So one thing I get frustrated with people when they're like, and it's typically women, if I'm being honest, typically women that look at their interactions with different people as failures. I'm like, well, you wouldn't go to the gym and not be able to lift everything in there and be like, I failed at the gym. So, you go back in there and you work out some more. You get a little stronger. You get a little wiser. Mm-hmm. And you keep trying it in preparation for what comes next. I look at relationships are a lot like that. I hate when people say, I hope I'm not wasting my time, or I hope this is going somewhere out of this. This is now, right? And any interaction that you're having with somebody is beneficial if you allow it to be. If it works out, if it doesn't work out, it's like you're going to the gym. All right, I was in the gym with this person. This didn't work out. Take that. What did I learn? What didn't I learn? Move on to the next thing. Or just stop working out. Those are your options. You can get better or you can stop working out.
You know, I think of all the female friends I have, relationships that I admire, and, you know, I feel they earned. Either they stayed in the gym and kept working at it and eventually got what they wanted to be, or they stopped going to the gym and it was taking everything that came their way, or they settled.
Yeah. I see a lot of people settling because they want to. I look at on my social media accounts, I'm like, statistically, there's no way that there's this many people jumping into marriages. Uh-huh. Like, just the stats alone don't matter. Forget the emotions and logistics, all that. Just statistically alone, like, this is not a good idea for all of you that are posting this. I said yes. I'm like,
But I don't buy none of that shit.
I want to believe that all these healthy. I know you. I talk to so many people, and it, I think me teaching and doing theater and being in all these different circles. Mm-hmm. I talk to people, and there's a lot of folks that haven't come to terms with who they are. Mm-hmm. So how are you? All right. So good luck figuring out who you are while you're attached to
somebody else. Then you have a child on top of that. I'll see you in 5 years in divorce court. I'll be waiting for you, baby. I'll be right here waiting for you. So you shark infest the waters. The game has changed. The yeah, I think it's a game. I'll see you in 3 years when that shit fell apart.
And I think that's, they just feel so pressured to be in one of those, be in something that they do it. And I get it. I understand that my viewpoint is not a popular viewpoint on these things. Yeah. And I get it. But I'm in a decent place mentally. Right? I'm in a decent place mentally. So I don't know.
Well, I want you to give, we're going to wrap it up very shortly. I want you to give two gems for men, young and old, and for women, young and old, just for them to find the nirvana that you have, or just it's good solid advice, something they can hold on to.
Yep. Men and women, if you do these things, your state of mind and peace of mind will be so much better. Now, these things are easy, but they're not simple, or they're simple but they're not easy. For men, if you can be honest with the young ladies or young men that you're dealing with, if you can be honest and live with those results, it's so much less stress on you. If you can just be honest with your intentions, what you want, whatever it is, if you can be honest, it's like 90% less stressful than trying to be a version of yourself. Just be honest with whatever it is. You'll be shocked at the results sometimes. And it's going to work out sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But your stress and mental state is going to be so much better. Women. How you doing, ladies? If you can get to where you pay attention and accept the signs for what they are, it's going to be so much less stressful on you. And your state of mind is going to be so much better. All the signs that you need are there. Just, are you choosing to see them? Are you choosing not to see them? If you can get to that point where you just actually pay attention to the signs that are there and take what you're getting, receiving, or seeing for what it is, you'll be in so much of a better place. Like, men are pretty simple. They only do what works and what gets them the results they want. It's not much more complicated than that.
And those were gems from Mr. Riley. All right, Brandon, give them your socials. Tell them where to follow you.
Socials. If you look for my socials, you may not even realize that I'm still alive because I'm not very active on social. But I plan to get better at that. On Facebook, it's just my name, but I say it like it's almost like a desert on there. It's pretty much business related on my Facebook. On my Instagram, I am Cooligan, Coolist21, capital C, Oolist21. I'm a little more active on there, and that's pretty much it for my socials. I've been going back and forth about getting to Twitter, but I don't know. That's pretty much it for social for me.
All right, folks, we want to thank Brandon Riley for being on this episode of Cognac Corner. Round of applause for the young man. And I am your host, Marcus Boston. And this is another episode of Cognac Corner. As usual, be great, be good, love each other, appreciate your time on this earth. Have a good night.